Hello, you are listening to The Wellness Project with Des. I'm your host Desiree, a mental health therapist and holistic wellness coach. On my podcast, I interview experts in the field of mental health and wellness, as well as those who share their firsthand accounts of their mental health journeys. These interviews will give you many tips, tools, and strategies to improve your mental health, as well as give you hope, support, encouragement, and inspiration on your own personal mental health and wellness journey. Thanks so much for being here. I would greatly appreciate it if you took a moment to leave me a review on iTunes and leave the podcast 5 stars on Spotify. It really helps the podcast to grow, which in turn helps me to keep bringing on amazing guests and spreading mental health and wellness education and support. And make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss an episode. Are you ready to embark on a transformative journey towards holistic well-being, unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit? If so, I'm thrilled to invite you to my program, the Holistic Wellness Transformation Coaching Program. My one-to-one coaching program is a comprehensive and individualized approach to help you improve your overall well-being. As a holistic wellness coach, I'm here to guide you on a transformative journey to attain balance and harmony in all areas of your life. With personalized coaching sessions, I'll offer guidance and support throughout your wellness journey, starting with a thorough holistic assessment. We'll dive into your past, habits, thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and patterns that may be holding you back and no longer serving you. This assessment forms the foundation for your customized wellness plan. Together, we'll explore the 8 foundational elements of wellness to ensure you feel balanced and aligned with your goals and your values. This program goes beyond the surface, providing you with mental and emotional support. I will help you to manage stress, anxiety, and other challenges such as perfectionism and people-pleasing, offering techniques and strategies to enhance your resilience and your skills. The benefits of this program cannot be overstated. I'll be there every step of the way to support you in achieving balance and harmony in your life, manage stress, and improve your emotional well-being. Nurture healthy connections, create lasting, healthy habits, achieve your goals, and gain confidence in your ability to transform your life. Join me on this journey to holistic wellness. You could go to my website to check out my various packages, and you could go to my Calendly link found in the show notes to schedule a free 30-minute consultation call where we will go over the 8 core areas of wellness, as well as your goals and your dream life. Reach out and let's get started on your wellness journey so you can finally live the life you want. Hello there, you are listening to episode number 143, and on today's episode, I am speaking with Elena Simonson. Elena is a licensed clinical social worker like me, and she is here today to talk with us about workplace burnout. I wanted Elena to come on here to chat with us about workplace burnout because I feel like a lot of people are burned out with their jobs right now. So many people that I talk to say that they're so stressed about work, they don't want to go to work, they've been looking for other jobs, they feel exhausted, they're feeling really irritated with their coworkers and colleagues. So I thought this was an important conversation to have because I feel like so many people are struggling with work right now. I'm really looking forward to you hearing this conversation. I think it's going to be really valuable because Elena is going to give so many tips and strategies on what you can do for your workplace burnout, how to improve your mood and your energy levels. It's going to be really great. So help me welcome Elena.
Hey, Elena. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, it's good to be here. I'm glad to be able to join you.
Yeah, I'm really excited to chat with you today because we're talking about a very important topic, burnout, which I know I have been on the verge of lately, and a lot of people have been telling me that they have been experiencing burnout. I'm seeing it a lot, so I'm really glad that you're here today to talk about this very timely topic that a lot of us are unfortunately dealing with.
Great. Yeah, I'm glad to talk a little bit about burnout. It's something that I've experienced myself and love to talk to other people about how to manage it and work through it.
Yeah, great. So before we get into all the burnout, I would love if you can just take a moment to introduce yourself, who you are, where you came from, your journey, how you got to where you are today?
All right. So I'm a licensed clinical social worker in the state of Florida. Currently, I work at the Department of Veteran Affairs, and I also work with a small organization called the Therapy for Therapists Collective. I started out actually wanting to go into the research field. I was always really fascinated with psychology growing up and why people act in the way that they do. And I started learning about some of the classic psychology experiments like Pavlov, some of those other ones, the Stanford experiment. And I thought, wow, I would love to learn more about this. I would love to contribute to the research field. I went to college. I was in a research program. And I realized that what I really missed was the feeling of human connection. Being in the research field, I spent a lot of time reviewing articles, doing lit reviews, finding resources, and not as much time connecting with other people. At that point, I realized that I maybe wanted to take the clinical route. I really liked my social psychology classes. I liked my clinical classes. I also did a little bit of therapy of my own in college, and I found so much value in that. And I wanted to be able to work with other people in the same way. You know, years later, here I am. I ended up getting my master's in social work, stayed in Florida my whole life. I have continued to do therapy. I'm in the substance use field. I found that working with people that struggle with addiction is really my calling. A lot of times there's something deeper going on underneath the substance use, and I like helping people move towards sobriety and discover, okay, you know, what am I really needing to work on? What have I been a lot of people self-medicate. And so, you know, what are people self-medicating? In my personal life, I really enjoy animals. That's something that I have loved since I was younger. I'm hoping to get into fostering eventually, really like dogs, maybe eventually training a therapy dog. I took a class in college where I worked with therapy animals. It was so cool. So it's a little bit about me, a little bit about my journey. My journey is still in process, as I think most of our journeys are. And I'm excited to see where things go for me from here.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you for sharing all of that. And that'd be so cool to train a therapy dog. I'm a big animal person, which my listeners know. So yeah, I love them. And I foster the kitties, which I think, you know, you and I have talked about. So
yes, it is so neat. I think it's such a beautiful thing to be able to foster animals and help other people find a connection with animals. Ugh, so many people that I work with, it's so therapeutic for people to have an animal in the home, just someone to take care of. There's that unconditional love. And so I really hope to, in my personal life, be able to foster and help people connect with the animal that is going to be a lifelong partner for them.
Yes, I love that. I'm always talking about how animals improve our mental health. Love that. So yeah, let's get into some burnout now. So how do you define burnout?
The definition of burnout that I think sits the most with me is from the WHO. And it really is the physical, emotional, and mental exhaustion caused by excessive and prolonged stress. And for most people, we associate burnout with work. Sometimes we see burnout in caregivers as well, whether it's parents or someone caring for children. When we think of burnout, I think a lot of people think of some of the helping professions like therapy, first responders, doctors, other helping professions, right? People who give to others as part of their job. It can be conceptualized as coming from workplace stress that hasn't been successfully managed. And there's a few different dimensions of burnout, right? So there's exhaustion, maybe a disconnection with your job, feeling inadequate at work. That to me is what burnout looks like. There's almost a sense of emptiness when it comes to work.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. And I think those various definitions resonate with a lot of people. What different factors are kind of that you're seeing contribute to burnout? What's kind of causing all of this burnout?
You know, it really depends on the person. There's a lot of different things that potentially could cause burnout. One of them is lack of control in the workplace. If you feel like you don't have a whole lot of autonomy over what you're doing or what your job might look like, right? Or for example, so I work in the mental health field. Sometimes a big issue that we see is a lack of resources. With housing, for example, I can't go out and just create more low-income housing or homeless shelters. So that's a sense of lack of control. I know that for me personally, I've experienced in my job, you know, I feel like I can't help people when that's a basic need that's trying to be met. The resource isn't there. It just isn't there. Another one is unclear job expectations. Sometimes workplace dynamics can play a role in burnout. You know, maybe you don't have very supportive coworkers, or you're not getting a whole lot of positive feedback from supervisors. I know I've left jobs in the past because I didn't feel like there was a cohesive working environment. It's really hard, you know. For me, is something I really value is working together as a team. And when you feel isolated in your job, it's hard to enjoy it. If your job is too chaotic or monotonous, that can be another cause or factor leading to burnout. If you're too stressed or too bored, you know, I think the too stressed one, that can be pretty obvious, but sometimes the monotony of a job, you might not think about that. But if you're really just not enjoying your job and you're not utilizing your skills and your talents, that can make it hard to really enjoy your job and to stay there. Another thing is work-life imbalance. You know, if you're not feeling fulfilled in your personal life and you're not taking enough time for yourself in your personal life, that can contribute to burnout. Overly demanding job expectations. If there's a lot of expectations at your job that you're just not able to meet, it makes it hard to enjoy your work. Not having the time to socialize or relax. Not having close supportive relationships. And I'll spend more time talking about this as we continue to talk about burnout. But those close and supportive relationships, both within your field and also in your personal life, are so important. I think that connection is one of the key factors in our health and well-being that we don't always talk about, right? You know, we talk about how important it is to get good sleep, to exercise, to eat healthy, and to go to therapy or do other things to, right, take care of our emotional health, relax. But we don't always talk about how important it is to have those supportive, genuine connections with others. So if we don't have those, it can lead us to burnout at our job because we don't have the supports that we need outside of work and within work. Not getting enough sleep, you know, now that I've mentioned that, I might as well bring it up. That's another factor that contributes to burnout. If you're constantly fried, you're probably not going to function as well at your job. You may not enjoy your job as well. You may be more stressed out. If you have perfectionistic tendencies, having a hard time being satisfied with your work, feeling like the work that you do is never good enough, that can contribute to burnout. And also having a negative view of yourself and the world. The last factor that contributes to burnout that I want to talk about is vicarious trauma. It's something that a lot of people in, again, the helping professions experience. It is a result of multiple exposures to survivors of trauma and violence. For example, EMS, they run into a lot of people in their line of work that are experiencing trauma. They see other people experiencing trauma. That can lead to that vicarious trauma, right, where you're seeing somebody else experience it. In the mental health field, a lot of times we experience this when we listen to our clients talking about the details of their trauma or even just reviewing case files, right, or clients' notes. people have gone through some really difficult things. We come across in the mental health field in particular, some really sad, deep stories. And as human beings that are empathetic, that is going to have an effect on us. And sometimes if we're not addressing it and we don't have the supports that we need in place, that can take its toll and that can lead to burnout as well.
Well, great. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. So important for people to know. We now know the definition of burnout, the factors that impact burnout, increase some burnout, but what are the effects of burnout, either mentally, emotionally, physically? What kind of effects should we be looking out for?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, right? And when we talk about, you know, as we go into talking about treating burnout too, one of the most helpful things that we can do is to be aware of the signs and the symptoms of burnout so that we can address it before it becomes extremely problematic. So in terms of physical symptoms, people may experience headaches, stomach aches, or GI issues, right? Fatigue, I think that's a big one. Maybe some brain fog, not being able to think clearly. Frequent illness and changes in appetite and sleep. I know for me, a few times when I've experienced burnout at my job, I either barely sleep at all or I will sleep for like 12 to 14 hours. It's kind of like wild. But it's really looking out for some of those changes, or if you already experienced these things, a worsening of symptoms, right? Because we really do hold stress in our bodies. So when we can pay attention to some of those physical symptoms that we experience, it can clue us into what is going on with us emotionally. In terms of some of those emotional signs, you may experience feelings of helplessness, cynicism, both towards your job or towards other people. You may experience a sense of failure or of self-doubt, maybe experiencing some decreased satisfaction with self, with your work, feeling detached or alone in the world, feeling isolated in your work, and a loss of motivation. And then finally, some of the behavioral signs are reduced performance at work, maybe feeling like it takes a lot more effort to do things that you usually do with ease, withdrawing or isolating from others, procrastinating on tasks. I know for me as a therapist, when I'm feeling burnt out, a good way to start to notice that is, am I putting off my documentation, right? I know when I am slacking on getting my notes done, I'm either really tired or I'm starting to burn out. Having outbursts, right? I think sometimes with burnout, there are feelings of anger, right? There may be, especially if there's a feeling of lack of control, there may be feelings of injustice. So sometimes just wanting to express that, to be a little bit angry. So there may be outbursts, arguments with loved ones outside of work or with colleagues. It may show up in multiple areas of your life. And also using substances to cope, right? So drinking more, using drugs or other substances in order to try to cope with those feelings of burnout rather than looking at the emotional impact or what you're feeling.
Wow. So burnout impacts pretty much every aspect of your life. If you're burned out from work, it's impacting, it's affecting your personal life, your relationship. So this is really important for people to know because it becomes so insidious. It affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, relationships, every aspect. That's really tough. So if somebody is experiencing burnout or they're suspecting that they're getting on the verge of burnout, what can people do to either prevent burnout or address existing burnout? What are some helpful things that people can implement or do?
Like I mentioned before, I think the number one thing is, first of all, to be aware of the signs of burnout, right? Because it can be very insidious and you may not realize that you're experiencing burnout. So being aware of some of those signs of and symptoms of burnout so that you have the awareness to know what's going on. The other big thing is turning to others for support, right? That's a big one. Having a sense of community, remembering that you're not isolated, and turning to others, whether that be friends, colleagues, or community groups. Like in the therapy world, you know, there are a lot of, whether they're therapy support groups for therapists, there are also consultation groups where you can talk about clients and get some support, some feedback. Engaging in one-on-one supervision as a therapist, I think that's really important as well. So turning to others, right? Finding people both at work and outside of work that you can connect with and get support from, right? A lot of us, you know, we work really difficult jobs and our jobs are really important to us. I think a lot of people find a sense of meaning and purpose through the work that they do, right? And having other people that they can identify with is really important. Another thing you can do is reframe the way that you look at work or your home life by trying to find value, meaning, and balance between those things. I think that sometimes, for me in particular, I'll say, you know, I've really had to work hard in my life to find balance because I have always been very used to spending a lot of time working multiple jobs, and making sure that I take that time to spend time with my friends, connect with my family, engage in hobbies that I love, be outside, be with my animal. Those sorts of things, they're so important to find that balance, right? Something that I've personally, you know, learned for me is that when I define myself solely based on one thing that I do, I feel very out of balance. And if I don't feel fulfilled in that one thing, I feel really bad about myself, and that can lead to burnout. So like if I only identified as a therapist, it would be really hard for me to engage in life outside of that. That's why I also have to reframe the way I think about myself, right? As a whole person, as a whole human being, not just as what I do, but as who I am as a person. So really working on reframing the way that you look at your work, that you look at your life, right? That you look at yourself, you know, not defining yourself based on what you do, but based on who you are, I think can be really helpful when it comes to addressing burnout. Sometimes you might need to take time off, right? It's talked about a lot, but I don't think this is always the answer to addressing burnout. Sometimes just taking regular breaks during the day. I never used to take a lunch break. I would just work through lunch and try to get out of work earlier. I found that when I started taking lunch breaks, even just to go for a walk outside for 30 minutes, it really allowed me to reset, refresh, regroup, and finish the rest of my day in a meaningful way, right? More intentionally, to have more focus in my work. So I think that that can be helpful too. Sometimes just taking those breaks throughout the day as you need them. Make sure you're engaging in your hobbies outside of work. You know, maybe you like art, maybe you like music, sports, cooking, you know, nourish your creativity outside of work. Sometimes work can become monotonous and you do the same thing over and over again. So I think it's important to step out of your comfort zone a little bit and engage that creativity. It activates those different parts of your brain and can actually help you feel more productive and connected at work. Taking care of yourself physically is also really important in addressing burnout. Making sure that you're moving your body in a way that makes you happy, whether it's going for a walk, dancing around, or yoga, something to help boost your mood and your energy. Making sure that you're eating a balanced diet and getting quality sleep. Practicing self-compassion. I think this is really important too. Learning to be kind to yourself, not holding to yourself to unrealistic expectations, making room to make mistakes, right? It's okay to make mistakes. We learn from our mistakes. We grow from our mistakes, right? We don't have to beat ourselves up over them. Setting boundaries can be really helpful. Expressing our needs, both personally and professionally, to others. Knowing what we're okay with and not okay with and expressing that, I think, is really important in addressing burnout. And therapy can be helpful as well. I'm always an advocate of therapy to work through managing some of those symptoms of burnout.
So many great actionable tips in there. So I really like that because I think a lot of people, especially when it comes to burnout within the workplace, with their jobs, a lot of people think that the only solution is to leave, is to find another job. It's hard to find another job. That's not always an immediate solution, right? And sometimes the answer is to find another job. You know, sometimes there's not going to be resolution at your job. Nothing you will do is going to take away that stress and burnout that's impacting you from your workplace. So sometimes that is the answer, but a lot of times it's not. So I really like a lot of these tips that you gave that people can easily implement throughout their days and their everyday life. I agree. I always recommend therapy. And one thing I know that a lot of jobs offer too is EAP. So that's free therapy through your job and free resources. Not every job offers that, but a lot of jobs do. So definitely check out your options for EAP, employee assistance programs.
Yes, 100%. EAP programs can be great. And I agree with you too. You know, sometimes leaving your job is the best option, but maybe you can't leave your job right away. Or maybe really the answer isn't to leave your job. So sometimes when you are able to manage the burnout, it can help give you the clarity to know, okay, is this something I really want to stay with? Or is the answer that I need to leave?
Yes, absolutely. So it sounds like that you do think that it's possible to recover from burnout, even if you do stay within that same job that's causing the burnout.
100%. Yeah, I think that it's possible. You know, maybe you need to switch positions at the job. For me personally, I've had to really look at that. You know, am I burnt out by my job or am I burnt out because there's something going on in my personal life that I'm not managing, or I need to reframe the way that I look at my job? And being able to distinguish between the two has been really helpful for me. I think that when we are well in all spheres of our life, it's easier to determine that. If you notice that you're jumping from job to job to job, because maybe you think that that's the answer, right? Then there might be some deeper work that you need to do and take a look at other areas of your life and how you approach your work. And, you know, is it really the job? Because, you know, sometimes it is, right? Sometimes you work for multiple companies that just aren't a great fit. But sometimes there's work that we need to do in our own personal lives and learning to cope differently and to manage our emotions differently really can make a difference. I do think it's possible to recover from burnout without leaving your job.
I think that's so encouraging and will give a lot of people hope. So thank you for that. Do you have any sort of words of wisdom, words of advice for people that are struggling with burnout right now?
Yeah. So the main thing is there's hope, right? You can recover from burnout. Feelings are temporary. I like to tell people this in my work. Feelings are messengers, right? They're just trying to tell us something. Maybe we need to make a change. Maybe we need to be kinder to ourselves. Maybe we need to just sit and be for a little bit. Maybe we need to take action, right? But those feelings that we may be having related to burnout are temporary. And things can and will get better, right? We just have to learn how to make some of those changes. I also tell people, don't be afraid to ask for help. I think that's something really common in burnout is to feel isolated and alone. And, you know, sometimes people might feel weak when they're experiencing burnout. Just know that you're not alone in this. It's okay to feel burnt out, and it's okay to ask for help because help is available, right? There's employee assistance programs. There are therapists that specialize in working with people who struggle with burnout. There may be somebody, you know, maybe you have a mentor or a colleague at your job who really wants to be there for you and who you can go to, right? So there's help is available. And the other thing I would tell people is don't be afraid to change jobs if you're able to and if that's the best option for you, right? Sometimes it can feel easier to just stay in a job that even if you really aren't enjoying it, you know the job, you know how things work there, you know the people. Maybe the burnout is a sign that it's time for you to grow and to make a change. And so don't be afraid to change jobs if this is an option for you.
I love all of that. I fully agree. Elena, this has been so amazing. It's been so helpful. I really appreciate you coming on because like we've been talking about, it's very common. This is something that a lot of people struggle with. So I really appreciate all of these actionable tips and all this advice and everything. It's so helpful. Can you share where everyone can find you?
Yeah. So you can find a little bit more about me, about what I do on the Therapy for Therapists Collective website. We are a resource for therapists, by therapists. We offer a pro bono therapy support network and some support groups for therapists as well. There's a little bit more information about the collective on our website. So you can just check us out at therapyfortherapistcollective.com. And then we also have a Facebook page. So that's where you can find me.
Awesome. I will link those in the show notes. And I always recommend the collective. That is how Elena and I met. I love it so, so much. It's so great. I love it so much. I'm so glad that you're a part of that and you guys are doing that because it makes such an impact. So everyone, definitely go check that out. I will put those links in the show notes. Elena, thank you so much for being here with me today and sharing all of your expertise and your personal experiences. So valuable and so helpful.
Thanks, Desiree. It was wonderful being here and getting to talk with you and sharing what I know about burnout.
I really hope that you liked this episode and gained a lot of value from it. If you did like this episode, please share it on social media. You can tag me at The Wellness Project with Des on Instagram and at According to Des on Facebook. If you do enjoy my podcast and gain value from it, I would greatly appreciate your support. You can show your love and support by buying me a coffee. This will help my podcast to grow and in turn will help me to keep bringing on amazing guests. You can go to buymeacoffee.com/The Wellness Project with Des to show your support. All books written by or recommended by my amazing podcast guests are listed on my Amazon storefront. Go to the link in the show notes to check out those books. I would love to extend an invite to you to become a part of my community. You can do this through Facebook, where we will be discussing this episode. I would love for you to share your insights, any aha moments, any thoughts or ideas you would like to contribute. You can contribute in the discussion taking place in my Facebook group, and it's a great place to connect with me because I am in there every day with mental health and wellness content, discussions, reflections, journal prompts. It's a fun and supportive place to be. You can find the group at facebook.com/groups/accordingtodes, and that link will also be in the show notes. You can also check out more of what I'm doing on my website, accordingtodes.com. You'll find a lot of wellness blogs, written interviews, detailed podcast show notes, and my shop where you will be able to find workshops, my self-care course, digital downloads, ebooks. There's a lot going on my website, so make sure you check that out at accordingtodes.com. And while you're there, join my email list to stay in the know about what I have going on and available for you. When you sign up, you will get your free ebook, The 5 Stress Reduction Techniques to Help You Feel More Relaxed. Thank you so much for being here. I will talk to you next week. So until then, I hope you have a calm and peaceful week.